When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, we have something that is sort of, it's happened before on One Shot. It's not the most common thing in the world, but it is a follow-up series to another series that has already been on the network. If you remember from a few months back, we had a lovely series of Wander Home, run by Adira Slattery, with a just delightful cast. I am pleased to let you know that this is a continuation of sorts. Adira is running the game again. We also have two of our previous cast members returning, and we have two new people joining us for this very special series. Wander Home is a delight to listen to. This cast does a great job, and I'm just going to let their work speak for itself. So with all of this out of the way, let's get to the show.
Hello, heroes. Welcome to One Shot. Eagle-eared listeners can tell that I am demonstrably not James D'Amato. I'm Adira Slattery. Hi. And I'm going to basically be the host for these couple episodes where we're playing Wander Home. Wow, Wander Home. Yay. Woo, Wander Home. So I'm joined by four lovely humans, two of which you heard on the previous Wander Home episode, and two of which are new. So I'm going to introduce them, and let's start with Morgan.
Hey, I'm Morgan, they, she pronouns. You can find me all over the internet at Sandy Bezos. I will be bringing back Tinsel. We'll get more into that later, so yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. Oh, James usually like asks people some sort of like fun question.
Oh, it was, the last one I remember he asked was, animals? What's your favorite cartoon animal?
Cartoon animal, yeah.
That wear clothes.
May I suggest something?
Yeah, go for it.
Something on the lines of like, what's your like Spotify aura for 2022 or something like that? Maybe not Spotify, sure. But it's like, what's your what's your color aura?
Yeah, what's your animal aura?
Oh yeah, my animal aura. Mm-hmm. For 2021, it was bold and confident, so which was an orange, and I kind of just want to carry that energy into 2022. You know, it's good energy.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. All right. And then other person returning is Rue. Hey, Rue.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm Rue. Pronouns are she, her. I do a bunch of different things in the TTRPG world. Producing streams, writing games, writing adventures and stuff. My most recent game that came out is Kick Garlic on Itch. And yeah, Animal Aura.
Yeah.
I can't think of like a specific animal, but
what's just aura shit.
Everyone I know does always send me animals being small and angry. So anything, a friend of mine did compare me to a chihuahua recently, which I did not want, but could not deny the comparison.
How dare they? At the time.
I was very shaky because it was very cold and I was eating ice cream. So I do see the resemblance. I did still pout and get angry about it, but.
And then a new person in One Shot, Mariam. Mariam, tell all the listeners all about yourself.
Hi, I'm Mariam, and I am a person in the TTRPG space, and I will be playing an orange tabby named Narungi today.
Fun. And what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are they, them.
And tell us a little bit about your animal aura.
Yeah, so my animal aura is always some flavor of cat. And I think specifically what I would like to be or channel is maybe like, I don't know, a Scottish fold who is very happy in their shape and just a very content, like, soothing and happy cat.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
And cute.
Hell yeah. All right. And then another new person, JR. JR, tell the listeners all about yourself.
Hey there, my name is JR. I use he, him pronouns, and I am currently experiencing the mortifying ordeal of being known. I'm a writer and a streamer, like podcaster, you know, all the things that everyone does today. You can find me online at various places. I don't know why you would. I've
still say where they are.
I write tabletop news for Bell of Lost Souls. I write, you can find like some of the game stuff I've written for Slayers and the Role Player's Guide to Heist in an upcoming Exquisite Corpse book, The Exquisite Corpse in Maggot's Keep. I've designed stuff for Level Up. I'm on a Lancer podcast, Response Team Omnicron. I stream with All Nerds Here. We are getting ready for season 5, which doesn't feel right at all. And then when I'm not doing any of that, I perform improv in Austin, Texas.
Nice, nice.
Wait, hold on. Time out.
Yeah, do we want to go back and add anything?
You're a local, JR?
Oh, yeah, I'm a local.
What? Buddy. We should hang out. Once Omnicron is in things in life.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I can't believe how cold it is.
I hate it.
like it was last, a week ago, it was 70.
Yeah, New Year's Eve was like 80. And now it's like 50-something right now? It was, like, in the 20s earlier.
Yeah, it was in the 20s earlier.
Which I was going to say, 50's not cold.
It was in the 20s earlier this week, and I was like, what is
Oh, yeah, that? That's cold, yeah.
It dropped me 50 degrees, yeah.
Took me a second to realize you're talking about Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just outed myself as Canadian.
That's okay.
I mean,
it's, like, minus 15 here. Oh. Celsius.
Oh. Mm.
Well, if the Celsius didn't give it away, the red and black giant flannel shirt you're wearing does.
That is true. That is true.
The Canadian uniform. I actually think I have the same shirt.
It's okay. You're an honorary Canadian.
And you all can't see it, but there's just like billowing maple leaf flag and.
Yeah, that's totally happening.
Yes. And there's a beaver somewhere just galloping around. Yeah. And a moose.
Moose are terrifying.
Yeah, moose are dangerous.
Yeah, moose are terrifying.
Yeah.
My animal aura is a grackle.
Cool.
Yes, nice. Little trash birds.
Hell yeah.
That's a good energy.
Yeah, and I'm Adira Slattery. I'm the host. I use she, her pronouns. And you can find me everywhere by Googling Adira Slattery. Best part about having a weird name. Get to pick your own SEO. Love being trans. All right. So, Wander Home. Let's play Wander Home. Wander Home is a pastoral game about journeying and fun adventures and emotions and how the road is a river that will carry you home. We have two returning characters from the previous one-shot episodes that we did, and we're going to hear a little bit about them now. Morgan, how about you remind everybody a little bit about your character?
Yeah, so I play Tinsel, they, them pronouns. Tinsel's a rabbit moth tender, meaning that they are like a little mail carrier. Do you mean just go through the whole list again, or do we just like go over like the look? And what?
Broad strokes, yeah. Look and things, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe some specific letters that you got?
Yeah. So basically, they are a white rabbit with like brown spots. They have small reading glasses, ink-stained gloves, well-worn moth tending uniform, and carries a map of local moth towers. Right now, they're currently carrying a hand-knit sweater for a cheerful young rabbit who just moved to a big city, and a basket of homemade candies for a chill old farmer with a big family that still has not been touched yet, which I was very surprised. The kids were trying to get into it last time. But I need a new letter now because my Waxel love lover was delivered.
Oh.
So I will need to get a new letter for that.
Yeah. Pick some options and let us know what letter you got.
I like the idea of a bottle of rare and vitally important medicine for the proper mayor of a hidden village.
Fun. Well, welcome back, Tinsel. And Rue, how about you tell us all a bit about your character?
Yeah. So I am returning with Nisha, who is the Firelight Playbook. Pronouns are she, they, She is a nightjar, which is like a type of bird that specifically like burrows into the ground a lot and is also most active kind of in the twilight to the evening. So a lot of last time's journey, she was very tired because we were traveling during the day when she normally sleeps. So there's a lot of kind of crash landing, flying around going on. But it's fine. She's fine. So her playbook is the firelight. So she has a pet firefly that she takes around with her. And I believe the background of this was, yeah, it was given to her by her uncle as a service bug. And yeah, her look is, they are kind of a brown and white bird, and they have a mud-soaked cloak. They have a book of rituals, and they also have a wisp, a small and forgotten many-faced god that is in love with her firefly that hangs around her. So you've got a lot of little pets and buddies hanging around.
Fun, fun, fun. All right. And Miriam, so you picked out your playbook, which I believe is the Fool, correct?
Yes. Very yeah. much the embodiment of No Thoughts Head Empty.
Hell yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Fool playbook.
Do you want me to read out the little snippet? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Fool is, life is an adventure and there's never shame in learning new things. You are alive, your care is silly, naive, and more profound than most expect. And I am an orange tabby and uses they, them pronouns. And I believe I am funny and useful, and I'm worried that I'm not lovable or popular. And my look is, I have garishly purple pants, like the most eyesore purple, like your eyes kind of almost buzz a little looking at it. A very flamboyant hat, which is like this sun hat that could house its own sort of village under it, sort of a thing. You see my hat before you see me. And a complete lack of foresight. Very much the look on my face is just, my eyes, there's nothing upstairs. The attic is empty. It has never been used. And I have a cloak that is very fashionable. You know, the ones where it's like, it's very crisp shoulder and then it's flowing and your hands can kind of come out from underneath. Like, you know, those very fashionable cloaks that are there now. But it's like made out of wool and other materials that is meant for someplace a lot colder. And it's very, very warm at the moment. And the things that are true about me are that I was spoiled rotten as a kid, and I cannot remember much about my childhood, and there's places that I think that are suggested attached to that.
So we're gonna build a place right now that's basically where you were from. So it's gonna be all places in Wanderhome are made of multiple natures. Okay. In the previous episode, we were in a place that was a lake and a tavern. And so the place that the Fool is from is going to be made of three natures. So you were spoiled rotten as a kid, which means the place you're from is either a palace or a garden.
I like the idea of a palace.
Palace, nice.
Ruins, because the next thing is you cannot remember much about your childhood. So I think from either the ruins or mirage, I kind of like the idea of ruins. Maybe that's why I don't remember my childhood.
So you're from a ruined palace. That's neat.
Yeah, and something that people assume is true is I had a really upsetting childhood.
So do people assume the place you're from was more of a waste or more of a labyrinth?
I think I'll leave it to the table. Like, what do you think speaks a little more?
Maybe a labyrinth.
Yeah,
definitely getting labyrinth vibes.
Yeah.
So people assume you're from this winding labyrinth. Whether or not it actually is a labyrinth, if we ever visit, is to be decided.
Yeah. And then the one item I carry with me is a purse full of valuables that can buy basically anything I want obtained through my noble birth. And the thing that I'm sure is somewhere, I just am not sure where, is a beautiful golden brooch gifted by my proper parents.
Oh, nice. Nice. Wonderful. And what was your character's name and pronouns one more time?
Narangi. So N-A-R-A-N-G-I.
Narangi. Nice.
Just means orange.
Oh.
yeah. And they, them pronouns.
Nice. JR, you're playing the poet, correct?
I am indeed. I am indeed playing the poet.
You want to read us that little blurb? Tell us a bit about the poem.
Let me blurb you. The poet. The song of the world is a poem that can be captured by ink and paper if only you could find the right words. You're alive. Your care is eloquent, observant, and occasionally overwrought.
Fabulous. So what kind of animal are you?
I am a rook. A rook. A beautiful raven-esque bird with a very, very stern face.
Nice.
People assume, based on my writing, that I am romantic and pretentious, but I'm actually romantic and casual. I've got 3 to 4 little choices to describe my look, so you can often find my handsome bird wearing delicate spectacles perched right on the, like, right on the, right up by the eyes on the beak, an argyle sweater vest, a tweed jacket with shoulder pads, and carrying a cane with a comfortable grip. Not that, you know, just for swinging around, gambling.
Gotta have a cane for all the gambling.
And then I'm also, I think, going down the thing, I'm writing a novel, is what I've chosen for my prompt. I'm writing a novel about the nameless godslayer who once wielded the heaven blade and the ruin left in their wake. But I have metaphorically intertwined it with the season and how their changes change you. And one that's unintentionally crept its way into my project is the everyday lives of my fellow travelers.
Nice. And tell us about some books.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about these books. So there is a book that I have memorized, which is a tiny guidebook full of practical life advice gifted by my local bookseller when I set foot. I have it. I've memorized it. But it's like also like right here in the sweater vest pocket or the jacket pocket. And then I read constantly from a cheap paperback I found on the side of the road whose author I wonder about constantly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And what was your character's name and pronouns?
Yes, my character's pronouns are he, him. And as for name, it's Gimbal, G-I-M-B-A-L, Scrimbledon, spelled as it sounds.
Nice. So all of you are all traveling together, and you all have been traveling together for an amount of time, and you have some relationships to each other. Each of you on your playbooks has some questions, one that you'll ask to your left and one that you'll ask to your right. Let's start with Miriam and go to the left and then back around to the right.
Okay, so do I ask both my questions, the left one and then the right one? Or do we all do our left questions and then we do our right questions?
Let's all do left and then I'll do right.
All right, so Nisha, how did you help me get out of my old home?
Oh, interesting. I think Nisha was going past your palace, like traveling, and crash landed into your room. Like, had not planned to stop at this palace, but just didn't calculate things well and was kind of tired and was just like,
during the day.
Yeah. She's like, it'll be fine. I mean, I've been up for a while, but it's no big deal. I'll keep going. Just zoomed into your palace. And I feel like just kept like a chattering conversation going. Just was like, oh, okay. Wow, what's in here? You live in this big giant place? Wow. It just like going on and on. And then just starts telling you about her travels and telling you how you have to go along with her, and just starts packing things for you, like, without seeing if you're interested or not.
It's like, oh, cool, where are we going? Oh, we're going here? Cool. Sure.
You'll need this. You'll definitely need this other hat underneath your big giant hat that you're wearing.
And I'm just, I'm just wearing all my hats together. That's why it's really weird. That's why it's so big.
I've heard this is fashion. in some of the places I've flown by.
I've been homeschooled as a child, and I've never gone outside my tower until now.
Oh, I'll break you out. Don't worry. I've heard stories like this. I'll be your hero.
Yeah, sure.
So, Nisha.
It's kind of like Rapunzel. Rapunzel, like, from Dangled. Of like, oh, what's this? And what's this? And what's this? And what's that?
And he's just like, perfect. I love answering these kinds of questions. So this is incredible. This is exactly the kind of traveling partner I wanted.
What's that blue thing over us? And then it turns black.
That's when they turn out the lights. And then blue again.
I'm talking about the sky. I've never seen the sky.
Fabulous.
That's perfect. He's just like, I don't know. But when it becomes darker, I'm far more awake than when it's bright blue. So I think the bright blue is cursed.
Fabulous. What about Nisha's relationship to Grimble?
Yeah. Why does my firefly like you so much?
I always have a treat nearby, just constantly. And I am, I think, like, mildly, you know how like a dog or a cat likes someone that's like, I don't know how I feel about you. And they're like, ah, your fear and uncertainty is delicious to me.
I'll keep snuggling up to you, even though you seem very unhappy about this.
Yes.
Yeah, your firefly is very resolute, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, it's just like...
It's decided. It saw Grimble and it's like, that's the one. Tease it.
Fabulous. So, Grimble, how do you relate to Tinsel?
So what do you have to keep explaining to me about the world?
Oh, how much of a traveler was Grimble before?
Not at all.
I think mainly like the idea of like fairies or like just travel in general or like the common courtesies of the road, quote unquote. Because Tinsel is a moth tender, so they're a mail carrier. So they know everything that's like really, you know, the tricks and trades of being on long travels and like will constantly like be like, remember to change your socks or like, let's take a break. You believe me, you want to sit down now because Grimble's like, no, I got it. I'm like, no, you want to sit down and take a break. I think maybe something like that. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. What do you mean we don't have second breakfast kind of vibes?
You're going to eat something now. I don't care if you say you're full. Your body needs the food.
And then, Nisha, what's your favorite part of my writing?
Let's hear about Tinsel's connection to Naraki.
What is it about my job that so appeals to you?
I think it's the travel and the news, because for the longest time, everything was only channeled, like, you know, it's like you only read things and you don't experience it. But as a moth tender, not only do you read things, you experience it at the same time. So it's like, oh, so you get this information right now instead of like whenever it reaches you? That's like so cool.
Tell me how you really feel.
Wait, you don't have to wait to listen to get the news? You can just read it right now?
Yeah, or go experience it yourself.
It's just like you can see the mind is being blown.
The pupils are just getting wider.
Yes, it's just like Puss in Boots eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Naranki, you have a question to ask back to Tinsel.
Tinsel, why are you so patient with me?
You know, I think it's because... That's just not only Tinsel's nature, because if y'all remember from the previous episode, we had two children. They just like attached themselves to Tinsel like nobody's business. So it's really their nature. But I think it's with that your curiosity and wonder about the whole world is almost, I don't, you know, and I'm not calling Narangi like a child, but like it's like that child-eyed wonderment or bewilderment or, you know, amazement or whatever the word is. You know, it's just, it's always refreshing to see life through a fresh pair of eyes. And so, you know, seeing you experience all this, Tinsel's like, oh yes, I might be older, but like, and like, I'm, you know, and might be like scorned to the world, but it's nice to be reminded every once in a while that roses don't always just have thorns.
I'm 10. Most people say that makes me a senior citizen.
Oh, no.
Whether that is true or not, who knows?
What is age? Age is like gender is a construct. Is it my turn to ask Scrimble?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Scrimble, why did I risk my job and career to help you?
Because you saw someone who was just hopelessly in need of help at the time. And I think you know how when you see something and you're like, oh no, I'm going to take you up out of the road, and it's like a, like you've grabbed like a turtle or a stray dog or something like that, and then now you're like, ah, well, I guess I'm caring for this thing at least for a while. I feel like that's kind of the vibe.
I love that.
Nice. Grimble, what do you have to ask Nisha?
What do you like best about my writing?
Ooh. Nisha likes the way you describe like scenes that are happening. Either like she's just been like pulling out pages, whether you've given it to her or she's just like, I'll see what you've been writing today. And she just likes the way you describe, like, even things like, you know, a campfire sitting that we've had together. She likes the way that you word things and make them sound more fantastical than they are, like make them seem kind of bigger than life. I think it connects to her a little bit, like in the way that she sees the world. So she sees her perspective in your writing.
Perfect.
How does Nisha question back to Naraki?
Where do you wish I could guide you, and why can't I?
I wish you could guide me towards, and this is the irony of it, of technically you can. I wish you would guide me to some of the higher, like, you know, the things in the air and the sky, the big nests, the things that are always out of reach for me, because even though you can fly, I can't.
That's good.
It's like, take me there. Cool. Oh, right. No wings.
Nisha's like, just, you know, just flap.
And I'm just like flapping. And it's like, nothing's happening.
Nisha's just like contemplating in the background. Maybe we just need to put you in a high place and push you off the way that's how I learned.
I landed on my feet. I landed on my feet, but it's like, I did not fly. I'm just bad at flying.
It's a skill, you know. I'm sure you can, if you work at it enough, you'll figure it out.
That's Misha's attitude. That's okay. We don't all have to be good flyers.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the Midroll. Heroes, do you like to watch people play video games? Do you like to watch people play RPGs together? Do you like to watch people who you enjoy just talk to each other? You need to check out the One Shot Twitch channel. We've got more going on all the time. James has been streaming Elden Ring as he cares for Project Falcon. We have had charity streams. We just streamed a Dear Slattery's Gunfucks, a follow-up to the series that we did here on One Shot. We are actually, as of the posting of this episode, tomorrow is the finale of Iron Edda Reforged in the Bubble, just a fantastic series that I've had the pleasure of running, and there's plenty more coming. It's twitch.tv/oneshotrpg, and just go there, hit that follow button, and get notified whenever we go live, because you never know who from the network is going to be using the channel or what you're going to get. It's always, always guaranteed to be great, though. Just a quick reminder before we get back to the show, if you are enjoying what you're hearing of the mechanics of Wanderhome, if you enjoyed the previous Wanderhome series, or if you enjoyed our Sleepaway series, Possum Creek Games is running a Kickstarter for their newest game, Yzeba's Bed and Breakfast. Let me tell you, this is a super, super innovative, like, take on the Saturday morning cartoon that you all thought you remembered but never really existed. You get to play established characters that grow and change over time. It literally, the entire bed and breakfast changes with every chapter that you play. The mechanics are streamlined. They're different for every chapter. It's just a delight. If you also want to hear how it plays, our own Jeff Stormer helped Jay of Possum Creek put together a series of actual plays of 6 chapters of the game. You can just search for Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast podcast. It'll pop right up, and you can find some really, really great examples of what this entire project is all about. It's over on Indiegogo right now, so just search for Yazeba's. That's YAZBEA'S. Yazeba's, you can pronounce it however you want. Jay said that. Anyway, search for Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast. It's on Indiegogo. It still has some time left. It is a fantastic project, and I think it's one that's worth you supporting. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
So, now that we've met all of our traveling companions, let's learn a bit about where we are about to arrive. You've all been traveling a bit, and I have generated 2 random natures for this place that you're arriving in. And it is a carnival and a graveyard.
Oh.
Yeah. So, let me first talk a little bit about the graveyard and then about the carnival. The graveyard is one of the lonely natures. A graveyard is a place of death, where the lost are buried. This place that you're in can always describe the way of the past, show someone disrespecting the history of this place, and ask you all a question. Will you tell us a story no one else could tell? And if you choose to tell that story, you get a token. So every nature has some aesthetic elements and some folklore, which you all are going to pick and determine yourselves as we're going to build this place collaboratively. How about Rue, give me some aesthetic elements for this graveyard?
Okay. Ooh, these are all so good.
Yeah. Do you want to read them all off?
Yeah, let me read what we have. So there are scattered cairns. Is that what it is?
Cairns. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Melted candles, gravestones, mysterious lights, deep and profound silence, an old forgotten friend now dead, and something else of your own invention. I do really like mysterious lights, so I think right away that nice. One's gonna go in. Mm-hmm. Gotta have some mysterious lights in a graveyard.
What form do these lights take? Like, are they bright? Are they soft? Do they show up? Like, what makes them mysterious?
I think they show up at random. Like, there's no pattern to the times they show up. It's not like once it's evening, then they appear. They just kind of appear at random, and they'll appear at during the day as well, which almost makes it spookier because it's just coming up at all times of the day. And I think they're kind of like a little like wisp, kind of floating wispy lights in like a bunch of different nice. Colors.
And then what's another aesthetic element?
Yeah, let me to look up cairns. I'm like, what is that?
They're like pile of rocks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They're a form of grave marker.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that. Scattered cairns. So instead of like official tombstones all over the place, it's a little more rustic, scattered cairns everywhere.
Nice. Are the stones from here, or are the stones like brought from somewhere else?
Ooh. Oh, I love the idea that they're brought from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like maybe families are like bringing stones from their home and then use that as markers for people.
Yeah. There's actually a specific tradition in Judaism where whenever you visit a gravestone, you put a rock on it.
I love that.
Yeah. Like my father's gravestone has a number of rocks all over it for that reason. Yeah. So that's neat. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So last thing about the graveyard is that there's going to be a folklore about it. So, JR,
yes.
Would you tell us a story that is a folklore about this graveyard? There are 4 little options right there. The Candle of Counsel and the Warning, The Day the Dead Danced with Us, The Mist Rabbit and Her Rictus Grin, or something else of your own invention.
Yes, I will tell you a folklore about it. The Day the Dead Danced for Us, they rose from their graves on a night of no moon. The day that they danced for us, they danced to music that no living could hear. They capered around the mounds of ground They flitted from stone to stone. They opened their mouths, but though we could hear no sound, we knew for a time we weren't alone. The day the dead danced for us, we could all behold the sight that lies in store for all of us, whether young or old, will go where they've gone before.
Wow. That was awesome. That was nice. Yeah. Sweet. Now, let's get a little happier. Let's hear about a carnival. This is one of the sprawling natures. This place, while not just a graveyard, it's also a carnival. A carnival is a place full of celebration, decadence, and excitement. This place can always describe the lights in the crowds, demand attention and adoration, and ask you all the question, what will lure you deeper into the chaos? And you get a token if you follow it. It's also got some aesthetic elements and folklore. Morgan, I'd love to hear some aesthetic elements for this carnival.
Right, let's see here. So our choices are strange actors, extravagant displays of excess, a mysterious performance, a hungry crowd, masquerade accoutrements, a glamorous friend who has reinvented themselves, or something else to your own invention. I want to go one thing for sure, a glamorous friend who has reinvented themselves.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Tell us about the friend.
Oh, I don't know anything about this. Maybe they used to be a former moth tender.
Ooh. A former moth tender who's now glamorous.
Yeah, they decided that they needed more than just the travel and the mail carriage. They needed the lights. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be in the spotlight, but also enjoy the traveling, so.
Are they like those TV news personalities or something equivalent?
I would say if we're going to do equivalent, we're going to do like one of those TikTok travel, like social media influencers sort of things.
Yeah, glamorous is one of the like mystical natures. A glamorous kith is like beguiling and enchanting, beautiful and impossible. They're things like flirtatious demons and especially skilled makeup artists. So I'm very excited to meet this newscaster.
Yes.
Do we have to pick one of those things on the page?
I'm gonna pick.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a secret.
Intriguing. Okay. Treat. And the next thing I want to choose is I kind of want to go with masquerade accoutrements just because I said accoutrements funky because it's accoutrements like.
Yeah.
It's a fun word.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Accoutrement.
Oh, you pronounce the T at the end? I've heard it without like accoutrement sort of a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know French. I know I'm supposed to be Canadian, but I'm on the English speaking side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know French. So what are these masquerade accoutrements?
Obviously mask.
All right. Are they specific shapes or colors? Like, are they masks of something?
Oh, no, you gave me choices because I was just going to go with masquerade mask, but I'm like, oh, God, what now? But I think they're like all the fun, funky, like wild eye shapes. Ooh. My brain's going very Mardi Gras because it's getting to be that season here. So like
nice.
With the vibrant purples and greens and golds, just like the eye coverings, not me looking at Google to like look at things with feathers and beads and like. You know, it's sort of like hanging off or like sticking out of, or some of them are covered in glitter. It's all like with like little like hair, like a ribbon to tie and stuff.
Yeah. Nice. And then we've got a folklore about this place. Got a couple of options. The Girl with a Thousand Masks, The Never-Ending Wine Glass, The Slobbering God, and The Immorality Feast. And Mariam, why don't you tell us a little story about this place?
So before I pick a thing, or if it turns out that we want to like X anything, feel free, I will do something else. But considering we're next to a graveyard, my first thought went to The Slobbering God and The Immorality Feast, and kind of like a Krampus sort of a lore of Slobbering God feasts on the wicked or those who disrespect certain values or places and things like that. And if you perish as someone who is wicked or disrespect the sanctity of the graveyard, the slobbering god will have a feast on you and you will be the main event and dish.
Interesting. I like it.
And it's done like maybe annually or once a particular season, of like the immorality feast. We feast on immorality, on immoral people.
Nice.
The slobbering god slobbers over immorality and will eat you in one gulp.
So a little bit also like a story you might tell to children a little bit.
I think hearing this kind of thing like Grimble would like just kind of every now and then self-consciously just like hop, just like a little hop away from the graveyard every time he notices he's close.
Well, the carnival is the graveyard.
Good. Oh, this is very good.
He's just hopping all the time.
Oh dear.
I have to say, in real life, this is totally my jam.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm going to say this place is called the Grand Display. So that's where you're all traveling. You're all heading towards the Grand Display. You've been walking together for a time. Nisha and Tinsel have traveled before together, and Nisha has now pulled Narangi out of a ruined palace, and Tinsel has picked up Grimble off of the ground, dusted him off. And that's the four of you are heading down the road, and up ahead of you, you see a break in the trees, and you hear lights and sounds and the mumbling murmurs of crowd.
Oh, I wonder what that could be.
I wonder if there's food. I'm hungry.
Is this during the day?
I think the sun is like about to set. It's sort of later in the day.
Okay.
So you're sort of hitting your second wind.
Yeah. Nisha was looking pretty listless up until this point. She was like, I'm sure no one else notices, but I'm really tired. But like everyone's noticed she's like knocking into stuff and like hitting everybody as she's going around. She's like, oh, I can go check it out. I'll be right back.
Oh, let us know if they have food.
Yes.
I just trot in the direction of where Nisha has gone, sort of just continuing. There's no caution in me, not a cautious bone in my body.
Oh, wait, Narangi, come back. We're not going yet.
We're not?
No.
Why?
Nisha's going to go check it out first.
Oh, is that what we do?
Sometimes, just in case.
What happens in case?
We walk away.
Dreadful. How absolutely dreadful.
We do not see it.
We do not perceive. We just keep going.
So, Nisha, you and your firefly are barreling forward.
Yes.
And in front of you is just colorful tents and large pillars of stacked stones. And at the sort of front is a bit of a sort of like makeshift gate. We didn't talk about the kith who live here. We need to determine what kind of animals live here. Let's pick one kith that resonates more with the carnival a little bit and one that resonates a little bit more with the graveyard. If anybody has any specific ideas, call them out.
I saw one of the aesthetics for the graveyard was a friend that is now dead, so why wouldn't there be a couple of dead kith?
So there are ghosts wandering around.
You know, it's a graveyard. Why not?
Nice, nice. And I think the carnival folk, what if it's a crocodile carnival?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. In like a swampy area a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not too swampy because it is a graveyard. So I think as you're barreling forward, you see this sort of makeshift gate. At the top, you see words on pennants, the Grand Display. And you see a little crocodile behind it, perhaps some sort of like ticket-taking desk, just sort of like chilling out. It seems like they're getting ready for sort of like the long haul of the night shift.
Are there other kith approaching, or does it look like they're just setting up for the night?
They're setting up for the night shift, but you definitely do see people who are like already inside. There's a little basset hound sort of like moving around by a little shooting game. And there's a large bear who seems to be like carting something from place to place. And the crocodile looks over and goes, "Oi, hey, do you want to come in?"
I think Nisha was trying to be covert. She's like, Tinsel tells me not to get into trouble when I go off on my own. So she has like her hood up, like well over her face, but her beak is kind of poking out of it.
And you have a bright glowing firefly.
Yeah,
the
firefly is like, especially at this time, it's just hitting its stride. So it is bright. There's like almost like a spotlight on Nisha. And she's like, I don't think they're talking to us.
Yeah, you with the firefly. Hey.
Oh, shoot. This is your fault. Nisha also, like, it just
the firefly hood. Shrugs.
Yeah. Nisha's like hood is up, but like the rest of her is very visible. The cloak is like getting kind of pulled up a little bit. So it's not like she's very very hidden. And she also is just standing in the middle of everything. Like, she's not in the shadows or anything. She's just like landed right in front of the ticket. She's like, I don't think we did this right. That's okay. We'll blend in, Firefly. That's what we'll do.
Your Firefly nods confidently.
Yeah, so Nisha walks forward. Yeah, well, what's going on around here? I know. Welcome. I'm testing to see if you know.
To the grand display. And the crocodile moves its hands in a very practiced motion, putting on their best customer service voice. It is our carnival. Please come to pay respects to those who have died and play some fun with us who are living.
Ooh, what kind of fun? I like fun.
Oh, we've got all sorts of things. And I think the place is going to ask you a question. Ooh. What will lure you deeper into the chaos?
Ooh, I think seeing like a bright carnival game that maybe a few people, like maybe is close to the entrance, so there's a few kids that are already playing games, and it's got sounds and lights and just a lot of activity. And Nisha's like, yes, playing a game is gathering information. I can play one game before I go back.
Well, take a token. I think this game is about throwing little like sort of balls into buckets. And if you miss the bucket, there's a ring and some lights from the bucket. If you hit the bucket, there's different rings and lights from the bucket. If you bank it off the wall rings and lights.
Perfect.
it's just a cavalcade of sights and sounds. And there's a crocodile sort of leaning up against the wall, just sort of jumps a little bit every time the wall they're leaning on rings and lights up as maybe a couple of kids are playing with it. Some little goats.
Aww, cute. Yeah, Nisha approaches. What's going on here? What kind of game is this? I love playing games.
Oh, the crocodile looks at you. Well, this is... throw the ball into the bucket, and then the bucket makes a noise.
Okay. Yes, I want to do this. How do I sign up for this?
You could just take some balls.
Okay. And she like kind of pushes her firefly over, like go get some of the balls for me to play with.
And yeah, your firefly strides out, scoops a few balls up, and glides them over to you.
I think Nisha first just throws one, just. She's like, see what happens, and like misses the bucket just miserably, not anywhere near the bucket at all. Does hit the wall just because she so badly missed the bucket that it had to hit something. And then it just like flies off, I think, in the direction of some of the other booths. And she's like, oops, that doesn't seem right. Or it's very, very good. I don't know which.
I think one of the little goats is like, wow, as it sails in the air.
After that, she'll watch the goats play a little bit.
Nice. So you're very enthralled. You're probably not heading back anytime soon. So how long did the three of you wait for Nisha?
I think
1 minute.
Well, yeah. Oh. I see Narangi just starting to wander. I was like, well.
Yes. This seems like it's in case. I suppose we should say a few words. I'll start. Nisha was one of the kindest souls I ever had the pleasure of meeting. Always an inquisitive sort. And we can see exactly where that leads us. I think we can learn well from the lesson of Nisha. Never go check things out. But for all that, she was a little reckless. She was also one of the bravest people I ever had the pleasure of knowing. We will cobble together a wreath of lilies and lilacs to lay down. What month is it? Is it frostbite?
I think as you're trying to ask what day it is, you realize that Tinsel's starting to push you gently in the direction.
What? Then what? Just, like, what's happening?
No, what? He's gone already.
I have. Narangi, we gotta go follow them.
Okay. I still have 5 minutes of eulogizing to do. I'll save it for later.
Yes, we'll do a candle eulogy later.
Yes, right, well, I wouldn't want to do two eulogies in one day.
That'd be 10. That's a lot. That's a lot of eulogizing.
Even though I go in the general direction of where Nisha went, I feel like it's such a sprawling place that I land up somewhere else.
Do you just, like, bowl right past the crocodile at the gate who's just sort of, like, trying to give you, like, an intro?
Kind of. It's sort of like, I it's not a I don't want to listen to you sort of a thing. It's more like I keep wandering and my eyes are, like, so big taking everything in. I just literally walk past the very obvious checkpoint or place where I would get that information. I am just, like, staring left and right and just kind of just wandering off. Like, even though my eyes are in one direction, my body's moving in the other.
Fabulous. I think as you're sort of wandering around, you bump into an area where it's mostly those cairns. And you've been following these interesting, weird lights as you've been traveling through this carnival. And in front of you is a ghost.
Oh, hello. You're transparent.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists. Above All Else by Wild Wonder. Typewriter Letters by Cody Martin. Arise by Kayla Bethridge. Carefree Weekend by Andy Ellison. Long for Tomorrow by Reveille. The Crooked Man by Wicked Cinema. Jester's Ball by Cast of Characters. And Tossed to the Wind by Sons of Ann Harkey. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week, folks. But don't worry, we'll be back with part two of our Wander Home Part 2 series next week. As always, we finish One Shot with a call to action. This one is going to be very similar to what you've heard me say before, but it is very, very important. There are so many issues out there where your elected officials need to hear your voice. So head to 5calls.org. Check out the issues for your area. It will show you who your congresspeople and senators are, and give them a call. They even give you a script. If you make 5 calls every day, it can make an impact. As well, associated to that, double check your voter registration. We've got primaries coming up for all kinds of senatorial and gubernatorial races. There's local issues on your ballot, I'm sure. Make sure you're registered, and when the time comes, get out there and vote. Thanks, heroes.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. We are adventuring. We are In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.